Hey y'all, what's up? It's Trey here. Listen, before we kick off this week's audio episode of Weekly Skews, I want to give a quick shout out to our new sponsor, Podcorn. That's right. Listen, as y'all know, we started Weekly Skews as a way to keep ourselves sane when COVID shut down the world back in 2020. What started as a live stream conversation between Smart Mark and I has turned into a podcast that reaches over 70,000 people every week. And for that, we are surely grateful to you. Now we're working to connect our show to sponsors who will ensure our podcast is here for the long haul. That's why we reached out to Podcorn. It's an online marketplace connecting podcasters and content producers like us to amazing sponsorship opportunities. We like Podcorn because there is no middleman. Podcasters of all sizes can browse and choose opportunities right on the platform, set their own rates, and collaborate with brands directly without any exclusivities. So if you're a content creator looking to connect with brands that will get behind your work, check out podcorn.com/podcasters. Thank you. Here we go. Everybody. Welcome back. Happy Skews Day to you. It is March 1st, 2022. I'm Trey Crowder, and that's Mark Agee. What's up, Mark?
What's up, Trey? So you sent me an interesting text over the weekend. I guess you got anti-mask protested.
Well, I mean, I didn't. They didn't show up at my house to complain about how I kept wearing a mask. But yeah, on Sunday, I took my sons to Hollywood for a little VR action. And we were standing in the lobby and I heard some screaming and whatnot. And then an anti-mask mandate protest came through and they were being pretty aggressive. You know, like, and I was, and me and both the boys have masks on, and I was preparing myself to get real pissed off, you know, if they, like, if anybody said anything, because it was specifically geared towards kids too, like unmask our kids and all this shit. And I just knew somebody was going to like say something. It was going to be a whole thing. But like I said, we were kind of off the street in the lobby, and then they let us in to where we were going. And by the time we came out, they were gone. So I avoided any, you know, over the top bullshittery, but they were out and about for sure.
Did anyone bother telling them that there is no more mask mandate in California?
Yeah, you know, I wasn't even thinking about that. Like, I texted you and then you said that, and I was like, oh, right, what the dude? I don't know. I mean, maybe they had it planned already and they didn't want to, you know, didn't want to backtrack. It's like, well, we already made the signs. I don't know.
It's so funny. It's like, what if we went and protested like Elvis swinging his hips on TV? Just like,
Right.
just pick some old shit to keep protesting about.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, we're pre-gaming here for the big State of the Union, right?
It's starting right now, right?
Now it starts right when we're done, I believe.
I thought it was at 8, but I don't care to watch it anyway. I
Yeah.
feel like it's a when Trump was, I think we moved the show last year so we could watch it or something. But
We moved. I think there was a debate that was,
oh yeah.
it was that first debate was going to be up against the Skews, so we backed down. What a shit show that ended up being. But yeah, State of the Union, you know, I'll at least get the cliff notes. I don't know, but what are we going to expect from it?
Well, he's definitely going to say the State of the Union is strong. It's one. It's what's a fun thing to
Spoilers,
do.
Mark, come on now.
I like. We should really go back to, because it wasn't until TV age they started doing it as a speech. Because all the Constitution requires is like from time to time, the president must inform Congress about the State of the Union. So you can literally just send a telegram that says the State of the Union is fine. Like an email might
Right.
even work. But it's, you know, it's useful to get out there and get your face on TV, I guess. So it does, like, it was always, you know, interesting to watch when Trump was president because he might do something fucking nuts.
Yeah.
But Biden, anything Biden says interesting is going to be, you know, aggregated. So probably just watch basketball instead. The Matt, because he does organizing, he got sent like the talking points email from the White House about what they're going to be talking about. But like the context, a lot of Republicans are skipping it. Because they say because there's a testing mandate to show up at the State of the Union because the president's 97 years old. And the Matt has an interesting theory that literally Marco Rubio and Dan Crenshaw both said they don't have time to take a test, which I have to get tested every couple weeks for work. it's 2 minutes in and out. And yeah. I bet you if you're a congressman, they'll come to your office for it. So
I don't get why those guys feel the need to even make up a bullshit excuse like that. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know why they don't just say, I refuse because it's my right as an American to do so. It's my freedom or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, instead of just trying to be like, oh, you know, I got a really busy Tuesday. I don't know if I can squeeze that in.
I think they're trying to cover their ass because it is sort of a wartime footing and they don't want to seem like bad Americans for not pulling together. So they got to make up a principal reason. But Matt has a theory, and because these people are asshole ghouls, cynical as hell, I have no reason to disagree with it, that they just don't want to have to decide whether to cheer or boo Ukraine because it'll piss off some segment of their base either way. So they just like, they're just cowardly, running away like cowards.
So that's Matt's theory, because I mean that's my headcanon now. That's just true. I could totally see that. They don't want to get into a position where they feel like they have to respond positively to something Biden says or whatever when Ukraine comes up, but they also don't want to do the opposite. So they're just like, let's just not go. Say we're too busy.
Yeah, I'm too busy to put a Q-tip up my nose for 15 seconds. It's like 15 seconds. It's like, not a big deal. So speaking of Matt, he's also fired up because Matt, he's always getting pissed off about Midwestern politics. So Iowa's governor, Kim Reynolds, is given the official Republican response. There's a bunch of responses. We'll get to that in a second. But she's the one picked. And he's pissed off because she's going to slam Biden for irresponsible spending when she took $3.2 billion from the CARES Act. And not only did she take it, his irresponsible spending, but she spent it so responsibly an auditor ruled she had to give some of it back because instead of spending on stuff to help her constituents, she used it to pay some of her some of the personal governor's staff with it.
Dude, prominent Republican politician being baldly hypocritical? Surely not. That's crazy. Stop the presses, everybody.
Yeah. So among the other responses, Large Brain Marge is doing her own for the America First Caucus, which if you're going to claim the mantle of America First, you should have to be able to name four other countries, I think, should be a good rule. but the balls in her, like, she spent the weekend, she spoke at AFPAC and CPAC. Well, maybe she wasn't invited to CPAC, camera, but she did speak at AFPAC, which is Nick Fuentes' America's First Political Action Committee. Fuentes is a Nazi.
And
not even in a way that he would dispute that label. He literally, before he brought her up, said they're comparing Putin to Hitler, comma, like that's a bad thing.
Are you serious? Literally?
Yeah.
God damn.
So, So, and not only is she still giving some sort of weird State of the Union response, but she's calling it she's using his title, America First. So fuck her. She had a weird weekend. She got half disowned for 10 minutes by the entire Republican establishment, who are still going to support her campaign for reelection, where Corey's buddy Marcus Flowers is running against her.
Right.
There's also going to be a few Democratic responses, at least three, I think. People are going to be the most mad about Rashida Tlaib's, even though she's going to say she supports everything Biden's saying and is going to say Democrats should put their money where their mouth is and actually support this. We'll get the actual stuff he's going to propose in a second. But one of the other responses is given by John Gottheimer, who's the guy who sabotaged Biden's whole agenda when they had separated the two, the infrastructure bill from the Build Back Better Act. He was the driving force behind that. He's the one who has driven Biden's approval ratings in the mud, and he called Rashida Tlaib crazy for doing a response because he's trying to blame her when they support everything he wants to do.
I can't remember. Is that typical? Does that normally happen? I know that there's always a like opposing party official response or whatever. I remember that happening every year, but from the same party, is that always a part of it? I can't remember right now.
Sometimes, usually they're very obscure. These aren't going to be because of the times we live in. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely happened before. Whether it should, I don't know what they're going to say. But as far as what Biden's going to say, he's going to brag about the jobs numbers everybody's been ignoring. He's going to propose trying to bring more manufacturing stuff back on shore for both economic supply chain and presumably national security reasons because of us not being able to get microchips from China and oil from Russia. As far as the wish list stuff, like, it is a good wish list. I just wish to live in this country. He's going to ask for legislation that lowers the cost of everyday expenses for working families and lowers the deficit by rewarding work, not wealth, is his language. Lay out practical measures that would reduce costs for families, including prescription drug costs and healthcare premiums and childcare and pre-K costs and energy costs. They've been running on like negotiating prescription drug prices since 2006. And even when they're in power, they don't do it. He's going to propose raising the minimum wage to $15 per hour, which he ran on, but his own party's not going to let him do it.
Right.
Create a national comprehensive paid family medical leave program. That'd be cool. No one's going to do it. This would, of course, be paid for by taxes and corporations and the rich. It's not really clear whether he's talking about raising rates or just actually collecting what people should be paying through enforcement of existing laws because they all cheat like crazy on their fucking taxes. The one thing that seemed missing to me was an environmental agenda, because this is like the perfect moment. So I saw somebody proposing, like, why don't you tie green energy bills to Ukraine arms? Because, like, part of the problem is, like, we don't have energy independence, so we're caught up in all these horrible situations. So it's
I'm not saying that this is why or that it's the same thing or whatever, but, you know, like right at the very beginning of the Russian invasion over there, John Kerry said he had in an interview, he was like, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but it was something like, it's a shame that there's stuff like this happening and no one is worrying about climate change or the environment or whatever. And I feel like he was just trying to say, like, which is a truly existential threat to all of us. Yeah. And instead, it's this bullshit that, you know, is actually happening. He got fucking dragged for that, dude. Like, and I'm not saying it wasn't like tone deaf or whatever, like picking that moment to make that point or however, you know, you want to say it. But I mean, like, it does seem like what will have to happen before it does become an actual priority? I know it pops up every now and then as like a talking point or whatever, but I mean, you know.
I mean, there are – pretend for over a minute climate change isn't real, right? There's still good reasons to invest in wind and solar energy. One, wind and sunlight are free, given to us by the Almighty, our Lord, our provider, Lord and creator. And secondly, you don't have to worry about having to kiss the ass of, say – the genocidal king of crown prince of Saudi Arabia, or
like we
still haven't sanctioned Russian oil and gas because we can't afford to,
isn't that exactly what Germany just did? Meaning they just used this whole thing as an impetus to up their commitment to being, you know, fully on the renewable energy path. I saw that headline the other day. They upped their deadline for being whatever percentage, you know, renewable energy reliant as a direct result of this whole thing, because they were so reliant on Russian energy sources.
Yeah, I think that's referring to nuclear, though. I think they got out of the nuclear business promised entirely after Fukushima, and now they're realizing that was a mistake. I'm not an expert on it. Some people consider nuclear a fairly green energy source. I'm not sure what to do with the waste, but that's an argument that's above my head, and that's for environmental scientists and physicists. It is an opening, and even if Biden doesn't see it out in public yet, Joe Manchin did, which is why Joe Manchin proposed a bill today to open up way more oil and gas, which was countered by Ed Markey introducing a clean energy bill to be like, hey, why don't we do this instead? So that's good. So here's a list of good things that could make the world a better place.
None of which will happen. Yeah, right. Yeah. So just pretty standard, par for the course. Yeah, I guess we'll see how it goes. Okay. Well, with that said, producer Matt is here with us doing the thing. This is Weekly Skews. I want to remind you all of a couple of things. Number one, if you're vaccinated and want to see me live, you can go to wellreadcomedy.com for tickets. I'll be in Knoxville this weekend where I started comedy. That show is very nearly sold out. So if you're wanting to go, please holler at it now. And also a reminder that we here at the Skews have started a Patreon for those of you who just can't get enough and want to support us. We sure do appreciate it. We've done two bonus episodes so far. One on the war on drugs and Joe Biden giving out free crack pipes. At least that's what the Republicans said he was doing. And then the second one on blood money, dark money, all kinds of shitty money and the effect that it has had on the whole situation with Russia and Ukraine. We're going to have plenty more bonus stuff for you coming up. Having a good time with it. So, as Matt just put up there, you can go to weeklyskews.com/more, or you can just search for my name on Patreon and get set up, and we hope you will consider it. Okay, For the show tonight, we're going to be talking about what else? Ukraine, putting up a valiant effort so far, to be sure. We'll talk about what's happened so far and the prognosis for the future and how much Vladimir Putin sucks. A lot to unpack there, obviously. But first, let's do some dumbasses. Matt, graphic, please. Tonight's DD, Sheriff Joe Arpaio, for expecting racism to not kill for a conservative conference crowd. Matt, play the clip.
He has some good points. I have the reputation of being the biggest racist in the country. Think of that. Well, I hate to, what are you clapping for, that I am or I'm not? Well, I'm not.
It's pretty, later on, and we didn't have to watch the whole clip, but later on near the end of that clip, he's talking about how he was accused of racial profiling or whatever. And then he goes, at the end of that, he goes, and you know what? Maybe I was racial profiling. And he got another huge applause break when he said that.
He was like if you guys don't know, our Joe Arpaio was convicted of a lot of federal crimes and pardoned by Trump. He was a sheriff in Maricopa County in Arizona. And one of the things his deputies would do was just stop people who looked Hispanic and ask if they were citizens. So I think that's pretty clearly racial profiling. Yeah. And I don't know why sheriff, like our fucking foreign policy is being run by sheriffs who are gassed up on their own supply. Good Lord. Yeah. Fucking crazy country. A lot of people have this take that it's like one of the things Trump did was he made people feel comfortable saying racist shit again in public.
For sure.
And a lot of people have this take that like, oh, at least they're out in the open now.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I do not like it. Like
I used to kind of subscribe to that because my argument was always like, they already felt this way. Like they are this way. So at least now there's no like duplicity involved, you know, but I do hear you. It's really like, I mean, it sure is upsetting and disconcerting for it because it seems like it's like mainstreamed amongst them now. I mean, literally fucking he gets a damn standing ovation for saying that people think he's the biggest racist in America. It's like, that's, you know, no, we don't need that.
I think people being racist in secret and private is preferable to making their case in public and winning people over to their cause.
You're right.
I also think that in general, just interpersonally, I'd rather a person be fake nice to me than honest mean. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. Maybe it does make people more comfortable able to point that guy's the racist and that guy's a racist and where the name tag says racist.
You said that I'd rather people be fake nice to me than honest mean. Matt said you should move to the Midwest then. I mean, Mark's from the South. It's very much a thing there too. It's, you know,
yeah.
Bless your heart, baby. That's the whole deal. All right. Our first honorable mention for Daily Dumbass, a different kind of cop, this Colorado Springs cop who fucked around and accidentally was doing good in her community. That's weird.
Yeah. So, the Colorado Springs police sent undercovers into the local DSA chapter, Democratic Socialists, and trying to find Antifa. And instead, what she ended up doing was helping homeless people find housing and taking phone calls from people who had problems with their landlord. So finally, some tax dollars put to good use.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah. God.
I just wonder what her briefings were like, you know, back at the station where it's like, what's your update for us? It's like, well, they're giving out a lot of soup, you know, they're like trying to help, people organize and, you know, and, improve their living situation with their landlords. Like they're just completely out of control. It's like, yeah. I wonder if their expectation genuinely was that she would get in there and uncover this like large scale Antifa eco terrorist operation or something. Like she was going to find them making Molotov cocktails to throw through the bank window or some shit like that. Like, is that what they thought was going to happen? Or
Maybe they thought the soup they were collecting for the homeless was those cans of soup for my family that Trump was always talking about.
Remember? Oh, yeah.
Where people were throwing cans of soup at the cops and like, oh, they're so innocent. Soup for my family. Actually, like that was pretty funny. That was the one time Trump was actually funny.
Soup for my family.
So maybe that's what they thought they were doing. I don't know. It's just like cops just do this shit, and I don't really know what they – I mean, the DSA does organize protests, and maybe they're trying to like get intel on – illegal protest actions, but like why they're spending so much resources to stop people, like a couple dozen people standing around a street corner chanting Black Lives Matter, I don't know. I guess they can spend their overinflated, you can't defund them, but they couldn't do this shit, Trey. What would they do without the funding to do this? Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Our next honorable mention for Daily Dumbass is Lauren Boebert for not being prepared for a real shit storm in her upcoming reelection campaign. You know what I'm talking about? Look at this new campaign ad from her newest challenger. This is wild, okay?
All right.
We are real Coloradans. We deserve a living wage, small government that actually works, and freedom of choice. Instead, we have bullshit.
All right. You get it. It goes so much further than that, just so you guys know. If you want to look up and watch the whole thing, he's not done with the poop. There's so much more poop. There's puke, poop. It just, he's got like cell phones pooping into people's faces. He's got a cue guy like puking all over a picnic table. And then he does a fake Lauren Boebert in her office spraying bullshit with reckless abandon just all over everything. You know, and I appreciate the artistic vision here, but this is wild, Mark. I don't know how to... I don't know exactly how to feel about this.
I think the real dumbass here is us for being a country where this is highly effective. And this dude got, this video got 250,000 views the first day it was up. So it was a big hit. And I think this guy, I think this might actually be kind of smart. This is Alex, the guy named Alex Walker. And the landing page for his campaign website says, now you're wondering, is this guy for real?
Dude, 100%. I put in the outline when I first watched this, I was like, this dude's some kind of performance artist or something. Like, this is a joke, I thought. But I mean, but he really is. So he's legit. It's all legit.
Yeah. He's a pretty moderate Democrat. He happens to be gay. I'm only saying that because it's like the first word of how he describes himself. Quote, the stakes are high and the fight could not be more urgent. Unless we act now, the insurrection party will rob disenfranchised communities of civil liberties for generations to come. This is funny because this was such a big deal and newspapers had to cover it. And I was wondering how they wrote it up. And they literally put the word turd in the newspaper, which hit for me. So
a lot of turds, man.
Yeah.
A whole lot of turds.
In this interview, he says, humorous how I dealt with the death of my brother, humorous how I dealt with coming out of the closet, and humorous how I'm going to deal with going national in a really scary fight against a QAnon psycho who will do anything she can to make my life a living hell. So, yeah, go Alex Walker, I guess. This is like, I mean, he's going to get fucked. Like, we've talked about it before, but the guy who ran against Marjorie Taylor Greene in Georgia had to drop out of the race because he got so many death threats and his wife left him. Like, the Marjorie Taylor Greene supporters ruined this guy's fucking life. And this Alex Walker guy's probably in for a similar fight. So,
yeah, I mean, you're definitely, he also said in his interview, he's like, look, you got to take big swings nowadays. And I don't disagree. Like, one of my new favorites is Gary Chambers Jr. in Louisiana. But his ads were like, in the first one, he's smoking a blunt and talking about, you know, how marijuana laws need to be, you know, fixed and about the effect it's had on the black community and all that type of shit. But he's smoking a blunt throughout. And then his second one, he set the Confederate flag on fire. So, I mean, you know, that I'm all for that, dude. I'm not saying I'm not for Alex Walker here. I'm just it's like, I don't know. It's a lot of poop, man. He certainly went for it.
Yeah. The I mean, I think like to get an like to win as a against an incumbent, you got to like make a lot of noise. And Lauren, I think it probably would help to have a national profile running against somebody who's weirdly popular with the Republican base, like Lauren Boebert is. It's going to help with his fundraising. I get why it's
Well, you know, Lauren Boebert, she's got a lot of big ideas, Mark, and she's still coming up with them every day. Let's hear her take on the situation with Ukraine and her takeaway from that so far.
So I pray for Ukraine, and I wish them the best. They have a great president right now who's really said clearly, live free or die. He said, I don't need a ride. Give me ammunition. The fight is right here. But we also have neighbors to the north who need freedom and need to be liberated, and we need that right here at home as
well. And neighbors to our south.
So.
All right. So, fuck Ukraine. Let's invade Canada.
I know. Right. It's like, oh, Ukraine, look what they're doing, defending themselves against this hostile invading force trying to take their land. You know what that says to me is we need to invade Canada and take their land. I love what Ukraine's doing, but really we should do what Russia's doing because Canada, they've been getting away with being a little too, you know, a little too lefty up there for a while. Okay. They need some more freedom.
Lefty, they shut down some GoFundMes. They were funding annoying truckers. It was like that's what we're calling oppression in the Western in North America right now. But like, it's like so funny to me. It's like part of our argument's proximity. It's just like just because like yeah, let's invade Canada. It's a shorter commute, right? It's like to quote one of my favorite comedy bits: "Let the troops sleep in their own bed and drive to war." You know, it's like like Jesus Christ.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of the war, let's get into it. Let's talk about Ukraine. So, I don't know. Well, you go ahead, Mark. Get us started.
All right. So, Trey and I on the Friday, the bonus show, we talked about sanctions and what was taking so long and why I was dubious they would be that effective. They surprised me by how harsh they came down. There's still not enough. For example, like I talked about earlier, we haven't sanctioned Russian oil and gas. There's still the stuff we talked about on Friday, like Italy having carve outs to be able to sell Gucci and other luxury goods, Belgian diamonds. We talked like about the SWIFT network, which is the banking network where banks move money around the world. They kicked a couple Russian banks off SWIFT, but not all of them. So just like a brushback pitch. But we talked about like the history of money laundering and the Switzerland just holding on to a ton of Nazi gold for the rest of eternity, apparently. But guess who came on board, baby?
Right.
Switzerland. We did it. We're taking credit for this one.
Yeah, we should. No, yeah. On the bonus show, we talked about, we got into Switzerland and how this is just wild. I feel like people have been sort of arriving at the same conclusion because, Switzerland had been on my mind recently about their whole neutrality thing. And I don't know about you, but I always heard about Switzerland being neutral growing up, but it seemed as though it was like pitched in a sort of noble fashion. It was like a noble neutrality. They stay out of it. That's what they do. And it's like, that's what you think about. You think about that, skiing, watches, chocolate, whimsical knives, that's what you think about when Switzerland comes up. But it's like, they're the fucking blood money capital of the world. And like remaining neutral when one side is the Nazis is like, I don't know how noble that is. They've got like some of the best PR ever. I feel like they've kind of just generally gotten away with that and even been sort of applauded for it for a long time. Yeah. But even they have taken a side on this one. So, I mean, I feel like, you fucked up when you made Switzerland take a side when like their whole entire thing is not taking sides.
I saw somebody frame the way countries are divvying up sides here is like chaos Muppets versus order Muppets, and it sort of like makes sense, and like it goes back to the theory that we talked about on Friday that money runs everything. I thought maybe they wouldn't do any sanctions at all because it would fuck with people's money, and what I came around to is, oh, times are good for most countries right now, business wise, and Russia's fucking all that up because war's bad for business in a lot of ways. And so they're coming down hard and fast to try to get Russia to get us over as quickly as possible so everybody can go back to business as usual. If you're not familiar with the chaos, like all the Muppets, basically Jim Henson talked about his theory of comedy, and like some of the Muppets are chaos Muppets and a lot of them are order Muppets. Like Ernie is an order Muppet. Cookie Monster is obviously a chaos Muppet, but you know,
okay. No, I've never heard of that, but that makes sense as far as the Muppets go. But what are you saying that like Russia is a chaos Muppet and the order Muppets don't like that?
Yeah, so like there's reason, even China's making noise about it being opposed to Russia's invasion of Ukraine, which is interesting because China would love to invade Taiwan for similar reasons. But also, I think the world leaders, economic leaders are like, we're coming out of COVID, we're fixing these supply chain issues, money's back changing hands, baby. Why the fuck are you doing this, Vlad? It's like, right. So China's doing great. They don't want this fucking headache. They don't want to deal with it. Like, it's like, Putin just took a shit in the world's punch bowl and all the world's economies are reacting to it.
Right.
As far as the actual fighting on the ground, it's about 3:30 a.m. in Ukraine right now. I'd imagine all their cities are getting the shit pounded out of them by Russian artillery and tank fire and cluster munitions dropping planes and yada, yada, yada. Russia bombed a Holocaust memorial earlier today, which is an interesting strategy in their quote-unquote denazification campaign. The context of this, and we've been seeing a lot of feel-good stories coming out of Ukraine. I get why, because it's a David versus Goliath story. But here's the thing about David versus Goliath. It was a poorly mismatched fight, and David would have had no chance in a heads-up battle if a lucky rock guided by the hand of the Lord had hit its target. So they cannot hold out for long because Russia just has way bigger, more guns.
Right. I'm glad that we're getting into this because I've been thinking you're right. It's a lot of the stuff that has been shared around that you've seen all over the internet has been, like you said, it's got a feel good kind of aspect to it. And it's seems sort of optimistic. And look, they're fucking, they're tough as nails and they're putting up a hell of a fight and it's very inspirational and all that. But it's also our own bias and, we're seeing what we want to see and whatnot. It's been 5 days now. It's going to be a lot longer than that. And, at the end of the day, they're still going to be very outmatched and outgunned, right? I didn't realize until one of the stories you sent that Russia's got multiple different sort of types of munitions and modes of attack that they haven't even employed yet because I guess they didn't think they would have to, and they're supposed to be far more devastating. And I'm not talking about nuclear weapons. It's other types of weaponry that they have at their disposal but haven't rolled out. So, I mean, it could still get much, much uglier. Obviously, over there.
I think they're boxed in by, not that they're humanitarian, but the second order effects of acting inhumane are big. You're talking about maybe losing domestic support if Russian people figure out how gross the war is, which is happening. They don't want to destroy Ukraine. They wanted to govern it. They wanted to rule it. So that having to pay to rebuild it makes their lives harder. They just wanted Zelensky to leave and put in a puppet government and then go home. That's all they wanted. They didn't want to fight. So Ukraine's basic military strategy, if it has one right here, is to hold out long enough that the Russian people get fed up and the military get fed up to a degree that they'd some sort of coup on Putin or somebody figures out a way for him to save face and be able to declare victory and leave like we should have done in Iraq in 2003. I saw somebody compare them to the Ewoks the other day and I was like, that's a good comparison because if that was a real battle, you think the Ewoks would have won?
I'm loving all these Muppet-based or Muppet-adjacent theories of the current geopolitical situation. I'm appreciating those. But anyway, so Ukraine's the Ewoks?
Yeah. But it's we're going to talk about some of the fun. A lot of the stuff the Ukrainians are doing is essentially on the level of pranks, which is what you do when you're fucking completely outmatched and you want to make viral videos. So it is fun. It is what do you call it? Good trouble, I guess, or whatever. Mm-hmm. But really, going out and standing in front of a Russian tank is only an effective strategy as long as they don't want to run over you. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's
yeah.
Not, so, on talking about like how they're basically their fight is a political pressure campaign, which isn't new. That's basically what the Viet Cong did. It's what the Confederacy did in the Civil War. It's what, you know, it's a typical guerrilla tactic, but there are some signs that it could be having some success. Like Putin might be losing the elites. There's a couple of funny stories here. First one, a sanctioned Russian TV host cries about losing his Italian villa. This one made me really laugh. So I guess Italy just like ganked his vacation house and he went on TV and cried about it. So this guy's name is Vladimir Soloviev. I don't know. Okay. I don't have a Russian tongue. So he has a house, I guess, down the street from George Clooney's estate on Lake Como. His neighbors have been protesting since he bought the property. They even logged out a petition to try to make sure he didn't get Italian citizenship through his back door through his residence. He's been making a lot of dumb noise about Ukraine. So Italy took his house and he whined like a bitch about it. And that was really funny to me. Alexei Navalny, who was a Russian dissident who got poisoned by Putin. He runs his own like sort of dissident campaign network. And they like were doing stuff like leaving Ukrainian chocolates on his doorstep. This was a couple of years ago. So they did this for a while.
What? So this dude, he's still alive now?
Navalny? I think Navalny's still alive. Okay. He's in prison, yeah.
Was it a failed poisoning, or was it like Putin was like, I'm just going to poison you a little bit just so you know that you need to act right? Like, this is the real poison is coming later.
I think he got poisoned and then went to the hospital and got treatment and survived. Well, he looks like shit now. It's one of those things where he got thrown in the gulag. Yeah. Then when he landed back in Russia, I think maybe his plane got diverted so he could get in prison. He wasn't trying to go to Russia, but he ended up in Russia getting arrested. Now he's been in prison for a few years. This is my favorite one. We talked on Friday about how like no one's even taken away the Russian oligarch super yachts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one Ukrainian guy decided to take on his own. See, some Russian tycoon who I guess is a weapons manufacturer, he's double bad. He hired a Ukrainian sailor who decided just to fucking sink his super yacht.
Dude, I don't know if it's like a disconnect or just extreme hubris, but maintaining a largely Ukrainian crew on your super yacht when you are a Russian war baron or whatever is like, that's a hell of a strategy, man. Like, it's, you know, like, but, you know, came back and bit him in the ass because this dude wasn't having it.
This is what happens when you don't see other people as real or you think politics are hypothetical. Right. This dude's got family who are getting killed. And this guy's just like, I made $20 on a transaction. It doesn't seem real to him. So the Ukrainian sailor got arrested because, of course, he did. Detainee allegedly stated that Majiv, who's, I guess, the Russian billionaire, is related to the manufacturer of weapons. So he decided to take revenge on him after seeing an image of a missile hitting a block of flats in Kiev. He asked the other sailors, most of them Ukrainians. They had a bunch of Ukrainians on there.
I know, that's what I'm saying. He's got like a Ukrainian crew. Like, it's wild. I thought he would have gave them the weekend or something. Like, I'm thinking they might sink my fucking boat. Since we're, you know, taking their homeland. But no, he kept them on board. He was, I'm sure he was like, hey, I pay them. They know better than to sink my boat. Well, not this guy.
Yeah, so he told the rest of his fellow sailors, who were also Ukrainians, to abandon ship. And then he opened several valves to create leaks and partially sunk that motherfucker. I hope his boat smells like mildew when he's having sex with his dumb mistresses on it. We're talking about Ukrainians making some fun mischief and the stuff going viral. And it's a really, considering what a boogeyman's Russia's been over the last 5-10 years about like state psyops on the internet, it's been kind of fascinating how badly they're losing the info war here. Let's just get a little palate cleanser after all this death and instruction talk and watch this video of a Ukrainian redneck using his tractor to steal a tank. You got that ready, Matt?
Это, блядь, хит, нахуй, пиздец. Пиздили технику, блядь.
Dude, so, you know, that Russian running after it is shitting himself, man. Like, you can't be the guy that left the tank running or left it, you know, open to being towed away by a Ukrainian farmer. Like, that's not going to go over well.
I'm really torn here because on the one hand, I do want the Ukrainians to mess these guys' days up as much as possible. But also, I fucking hate tow truck drivers. So it's 50-50, I think, here. There's also like fun stories like this. I don't know if this is true, but there's been a lot of stuff that turned out to be fake. We'll get to that in a second. I guess let's go ahead and get it over with now. So some stuff we talked about on Friday that I told you could be fake because it's impossible to fact check. The ghost of Kiev, that fighter pilot shot down six fighter jets in a single night. That turned out to not be real. And the Battle of Snake Island guys, the ones who told the Russian battleship to go fuck themselves. The video stopped, and the story was those were the last words because they got killed. Turns out they surrendered after that, which is cool because these guys created the meme. They got their content. They did not die for the meme. I respect that.
the video was real, right? Like they really had that exchange.
Yeah.
But then they surrendered as opposed to all getting, exploded by the Russians. I mean, I'm fine with that. I'm not going to hear that and be like, oh, God damn it. I thought they were dead. Now I'm not in the story anymore. You know, like it's still a baller move to tell them to go fuck yourself just because they did not then murder you. They didn't know. Like when they said it, they thought they might explode us after we say this. So it's still some gangster shit either way.
Yeah. I'm glad they're alive. I'm not mad that they fooled me. So this is one of those stories that's impossible to know if it's true, but it's too good to fact check. So we'll just tell you the story that's floating around. The reports of Russian troops trying to match on Tinder with Ukrainian women and getting catfished. That hits for me. It reminds me of there was an Eastern European women who were catfishing ISIS dudes, and they took ISIS for like hundreds of thousands of dollars. And like, that's awesome.
I guess 20-year-old dudes are just going to be 20-year-old dudes, but it's wild to be invading a country and still getting on Tinder every day and just, seeing if there's any hot singles in my area.
Trey, it's not even clear they know they were going on an invasion. They're told they're in a training exercise.
Right.
So like some of the dudes might not even know they're at war. They might think they're fucking doing exercises in Belarus. Speaking of which, like we're going to get like the Russian army is a lot bigger and more powerful, but it doesn't mean it's competent. And that's what's creating a lot of cracks for some fuckery. Like some of the Russian soldiers don't have helmets. The Russian soldiers have been posting videos complaining that there's a lot of their field rations, expired in 2015. Here's a fun one. Ukrainian civil militias have been capturing Russian soldiers and making them call their mothers, which is hilarious and brilliant. This is effective because, again, their moms didn't know they'd been deployed. So you call the mom, I capture your son. Oh, my God, how can I help? Go out in the street and protest. Tell people there's a war that's actually happening. It's not just a training exercise. You're being propagandized. And call your commanding officers and call your son's commanding officers and tell them to go fuck themselves. So they're doing all that. I'll skip this. Dumb. This is real quick. So on America's shores, Dennis Miller chose to cancel his own Russia Today show, which prompted me to ask the question, Dennis Miller has a Russian Today show?
Right. Russia Today, is it like Al Jazeera? I'm not comparing the two in terms of, I just mean like, is it also globally available, Russia Today?
Yeah.
'Cause I know it's like the state-owned propaganda news outlet in Russia, RT, Russia Today. But like, what the fuck? Yeah. Dennis Miller had a Russia Today show?
Yeah, apparently, as does also William Shatner.
What?
who has not dropped his Russia Today show.
What the fuck, man?
Some reporter dug through the hosts and found one guy who hosts a show on Russia Today. He lives in New York. He was arrested in New York in 1999 for having 570 unreturned library books with $31,000 in overdue fees. He was just the weirdest motherfuckers on the planet.
Yeah.
So
fucking book banded over here, man.
Al Jazeera actually does pretty good news coverage. Russia Today.
No, I know. I wasn't trying to compare them in that way. I just meant like I was just trying to say, is it like an outside of Russia operation also?
Yeah.
Like they have like global programming everywhere. Because if they do, I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah. I mean, Ukraine's been writing angry letters to a bunch of Silicon Valley companies trying to beg them to take down Russian propaganda. Because like, I guess you can just share Russian propaganda on Facebook or in the metaverse and no one will do anything about it. So going back to the Russian army being inept, you can throw that screen grab back up there, Matt. So there's been a bunch of reports of Russian troops being taken prisoner and basically telling Ukrainians, we found out about this invasion 3 hours before you did. We thought we were actually on exercises. Then suddenly we were told to cross the border. Like there's been like, so I'm not a military strategist. All I can do is read and tell you what I read. But like, So they basically did a blitzkrieg type invasion, but usually it comes in three waves. You send in an army of tanks to blast through as quickly as possible. Then you have a secondary line come through and clean up the enemy forces that you pushed through and left behind. And then you got to establish supply chain lines. And of course, they did the first thing, but not the second two. So they ran out of gas and food like 20 miles into Ukraine, which is why it's so easy to steal their tanks. The good news for the Russian army, though, is they got some good old boys riding to the rescue. Play this video, man.
And сейчас работа. It's chaos on the front line with the denazifiers and liberators of Ukraine. These guys are tough, these guys are ready, and there's plenty of them. So far, Russia has used about 10% of its military power, and we're getting ready to bring the hammer down. These guys are going to save and liberate all the good people in Ukraine, and the bad people, kick their ass.
So, big old good old boy with a ponytail is going to go over there and help Russia defeat the Ukrainian Nazis with the Jewish president. There's been people, there was a report debunked that a bunch of Australian Proud Boys were going to help out the Russians. And then there's also stories about people going to join the Ukrainian side. Americans do this a lot. Like when there were Americans fighting in Syria for various different militias. I don't know why, except we love to fight. I guess if you believe in stuff.
Mercenaries or?
No, like just like.
People just going and volunteering.
Yeah, some like Canadian like paramedic went to join up. But I guess he's a medic. He has skills, I guess, he could help. Yeah. I would advise doing that. I'm going to stay here and talk about it. You guys have fun.
That's more my speed for sure.
We don't need to show this video, Matt, but like Pat Robertson did his normal thing, came out of retirement to go on TV looking like Orville Redenbacher, the ghost of Orville Redenbacher's dead mother, and said that God, this is all in God's hands and God made Putin invade. It wasn't his decision because it's going to help bring out end times and the army's going to pivot south to Israel. I don't know.
Yeah, you'll have that.
Yeah. The Russian fuck-ups have been kind of funny because like the Russian state media apparently had a victory pronouncement on AutoPost that went live last night. So it just like did the Tokyo
mission accomplished
thing.
Baby.
Yeah, they did the mission accomplished banner, and the takeaway there is like the fact that Putin needs to declare victory so quickly is sort of evidence to me of how precarious his domestic political situation is. Do you know what I'm saying? Like he shouldn't have to. If he was actually strongly in power, he wouldn't have to say shit, right?
Right.
It's the weird war, fucking deal with it. Like I said, there's so much fog of war stuff happening here. And as far as why Ukraine is winning this, Zelensky is like a social media star. Like,
yeah, absolutely, he is.
He's really good at this, and I think his career, like Trump's career in show business, helped him be a good propagandist. I think Zelensky's dad. Let's enjoy some Zelensky highlights. So Zelensky was on Dancing with the Stars. And let's check out his – he's got some swiveling hips, baby. He's got moves, right?
He sure does. This guy's got it all, man. I'll tell you what. It's like he's been a pretty stone-cold motherfucker over the past, you know, week or so. And then you see him out there just cutting a rug, man, in a pink leisure suit. This guy's, he contains multitudes.
He's a tough motherfucker who also cut his teeth on TV playing Hava Nagila, pretending to play Hava Nagila with his dick. Do you have this video, Matt?
Classic.
Yeah, that's just
fun for the whole family right there. That's a classic bit.
And we couldn't show this video because we're afraid of getting hit for copyright. But Zelensky is also the voice of Paddington the Bear in Ukraine.
Yeah.
And you go look it up because his voice, he has a deep, scratchy smoke. Like, he smokes 3 packs a day. And he's like, the Ukrainians are so fucking tough that even their cuddly bear is like,
Yeah. Getting up the wacky hijinks and talking like this and Paddington Bear. That's pretty great.
As far as how this affects domestic politics, Republicans haven't settled on a real line for this. And I think it's like, they're basically what they're saying is, Ukraine, we want Ukraine to win now, but if Biden was tougher, Russia wouldn't have invaded. But also, Biden should keep gas prices low.
Right.
Should also sanction Russian oil. And also.
Yeah. Right.
The funniest one to me was trying to square these circles was Glenn Youngkin, the new governor of Virginia, tweeting out that he supported Ukraine in their fight against Soviet Russia, which is, we're just like, I don't know what to do. Let's pretend it's 1991. I think one of the reasons people have been inspiring about this, the last thing I'll say about this is like, worldwide, populist nationalism has been on the march worldwide, and it's had a rise in United States, England with Brexit and Boris Johnson. You got fucking Jair Bolsonaro in Brazil, Modi in India, Putin in Russia. There are far right domestic movements in France and Germany. They're gaining power, and here's somebody saying, "Nope, fuck you." And it feels like what we talked about on Friday, what I was trying to get to is like this could be a turning point where we all realize how corrupt money has made everything, and we start having sensible worldwide financial markets, less money laundering, less dirt, less whatever, because the only way we all stay free.
It's wild that it's like it seems to, when one of the biggest talking points is how across the world, we've never been more divided. And I'm not saying all those divisions aren't still there, but it's wild having a thing that has united the vast majority of most people on one side. It's also kind of funny that like Putin was always so terrified of like a unified Europe, So he was like, I know what I'll do. I'm going to go ahead and do a thing that unifies all of Europe. Very concretely, because he hates NATO. He's terrified, the implications of NATO. And then now you've got Sweden and Finland and fucking Kosovo and everybody, Ukraine, are like, can we please join NATO immediately? Which he hates, but it's a direct result of, oh shit, the consequences of my own actions. How about that?
Yeah, here, let me hoist this petard. I hope I'm not on it. Yeah. It's also like supposedly Russia's been obsessed with the death of Gaddafi. Like he's watched that video of Gaddafi being drugged through the streets and sodomized with a bayonet, like over and over and over again on loop. And he's trying, like that's his biggest fear is that happening to him. And I don't think he's ever been closer to it.
I know, right? It's like he's got a funny way of showing it. I totally buy that video would resonate with him. Like, I think that's astute of him to be, worried by that video. But his actions do not reflect it. It's like he's barreling headlong down that path at an ever-increasing rate. So, I don't know.
Let's assume he believes his own rhetoric for a second. All right? If that's your biggest fear, and you think the Ukrainian revolution in 2014, where his puppet guy got chased out, was a CIA coup, and you think that they might join NATO, and everyone's out, the NATO's controlled by the CIA, and they're all marshaling their forces against you, and next comes a CIA-supported coup in Russia, where you end up like Gaddafi, maybe he thought this was the move.
I guess, evidently. All right. Well, obviously, there'll be much more going on there in the coming weeks. We'll see what happens. Now, Matt, you can start looking for some comments from people to throw up there. We've got a little bit of time left. Didn't go as long as last time. While Matt's looking for those, I will remind you again, more quickly this time, you can go to wellreadcomedy.com if you want to come see me live, which I would appreciate. And also, as we've referenced multiple times already, we're doing bonus episodes of Skews on our Patreon, which you should check out if you want to get all that extra good. You go to weeklyskews.com/more, or just go to Patreon and search for my name. You'll find it either way and join us on there. Okay, let's get into it. Like we were saying, before, maybe also on the bonus episode, it just seems like I don't think this has gone exactly the way that Vladimir Putin thought that it was going to, you know. But Diane Yob on Facebook says, GOP's going to miss all that laundered Russian money that they might not have easy access to when the smoke clears. I mean, yeah, there's a whole lot of, you know, fat cats who are going to be feeling it when it comes to these sanctions and stuff. That's why there's been such a kerfuffle surrounding them.
Trey, do you remember Maria Butina? Speaking of Russian money laundered into politics, remember Maria Butina, the woman who was giving money to the NRA on behalf of the Russian government?
Yeah.
Yes. She catfished that guy.
I didn't remember her name, but I do know who you're talking about. Yeah.
So she was on Russian TV yesterday saying that Ukraine, like the only situation in which citizens shouldn't have Second Amendment rights is like when a country's being, she's basically saying that Ukraine handing out weapons to civilians to defend themselves from invasion was a bad example of private gun ownership. That's the one.
That's the prototype for the need for an amendment like that.
What fucking suckers those guys are. She was a front woman for a fake group called Russians for the Second Amendment. They chose to believe that Russia has a Second Amendment.
Right. It's People on YouTube says, who will fund NRA now? Yeah.
The gun companies.
Mm-hmm. Dave Antunes says, Russia spent too much of their time and money interfering in American elections to be able to win a war now. LOL. I can't remember if you said it. I know it was in the outline, but like that they seem to be fucking up on that front too, like in terms of psyops and stuff, where like we spent the past 4 or 5 years, you know, it seeming like they were this indomitable force in that regard. Like that's supposed to be their wheelhouse, is that type of shit.
Yeah, I guess sometimes you're overwhelmed by facts on the ground that actually have more they at least have some truth to them, like a tank did get stolen. Guys in there did tell a Russian warship to go fuck themselves. Like, at least, like, yeah, I mean, they got a bunch of, Facebook busted a bunch of fake accounts that were used run by Russian trolls who were using AI generated faces. They got caught was because the faces, I guess if you AI generate a face, their incongruities, like the ears look weird. And one woman had mismatched earrings and shit. So it's fairly easy to pick out if you know what you're looking for. And I was like, just go take a picture of an actual Russian, you lazy fucks. Like, you could have killed a guy from around this band.
Yeah. Tommy Parsons says, I want to buy some merch. Well, you can go to weeklyskews.com if you would like. Get the t-shirt right there, designed by producer Matt.
Master salesman, sales job, Trey. Masterful.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, that's all Matt, buddy, queuing me up there. I meant to say like and subscribe and share and all that stuff, too, so make sure y'all do that. Russian psyops, as Matt looks for another comment, I'll make this brief. I told this story on the Patreon episode. I was on Reddit lurking around reading various Ukraine related threads, and in every thread one of the very top comments, most upvoted comments, was this guy saying, you may have heard that Poland is closed to Ukrainian refugees. That is not true. If you're seeking asylum, you can go to Poland right now. And it was upvoted to the top everywhere, and people were praising this guy. And it seems just like a dude trying to spread the good word. Like, if you need to get out, Poland is an option. But then some other people dug into that dude's comment history, and it turned out that guy was a Russian troll or a Russian whatever, psyop, who's like, what he was really trying to do was just, it was part of a campaign to convince more Ukrainians to leave because that makes it easier for them to invade. You know what I mean? So it was like a Russian psyop that Reddit absolutely got, you know, yanked by initially. Then they found the dude out and he got drugged after that.
So let me read this tweet before you move on for a second. The shirts are so comfy. It's somewhere on topic. Sorry, I read that slight comment.
Nicole Johnson says the shirts are comfy. Thank you.
Some of the Russian stuff is so clumsy that I can't even be people. No one would actually fall for it. So who cares? Like here's an example. So the guy that wrote that article I was just talking, referencing about the AI generated pages being taken down is an NBC reporter by the name of Ben Collins. Somebody replied to him, my avatar is from that website, but I'm a real person. How can you explain that? And he said, very good question, comma, and then just added their at name, which was Comrade 7387949. It's like, it's so fucking fake. You guys are so bad at this, man.
You just reminded me when I took my sons to that VR thing, one of them said, and I I'm sure he got this from some video game or something, but it was like we were like on a space team in the VR game, you know, and one of them said something like, he was like, let's go, comrades. And I was like, don't say comrade right now. got to be blasting that out there. Karta on YouTube says Ukraine is preventing males 18 to 60 from leaving Ukraine, though.
It's a draft day. They're pulling dudes off buses and giving them, get them guns. Yeah. I mean,
sure.
I'm against a military draft, but also, what do you want?
I think that's probably pointed at the story that I told about, which that wasn't the point of it. The point of it was just like I said, seeing this, like, however low level sort of Russian cyber operation kind of unfold in real time. I just thought it was kind of wild.
Yeah.
Seeing it get like that.
I don't know how much you guys know about Battle of Stalingrad, but, these people are used to hard fight. Like, it's like, not, it wasn't quite that old, like, sort of apocryphal that they would give two people one rifle and say, when one of you falls down, another one pick up the rifle. But they did machine gun their own troops for retreating. And you can't see it. It's the inside joke between me and my wife. We have a cross stitch on our wall. It says Nishigu Nazad, which is Stalin's orders to people of Leningrad, which was not one step back. And he literally did have general shot. They moved back a step. So
that I don't. You have. That is an inside joke between you and your wife, and you have a needle point of that on your wall.
Yeah, I'm trying to find a can.
That's some smart inside joke shit right there, buddy.
It's a joke we have in a script we wrote together. So it's sort of, but it's also just like, yeah, times are hard, man. Not one step back, motherfucker. What are we gonna do?
Yeah, I dig it. It's a great rallying cry, because I get what you mean. In a marriage, you know, push forward, gotta keep doing it. It's great. It's just the like origin of it or whatever is.
That was when at a point we had really bad money troubles. It wasn't like we had marital troubles.
Well, either way, I just thought you're both like in creative pursuits and whatnot. So I interpreted it that way. But it's just funny. It's like a Battle of Stalingrad thing. Scott Prowse says, I'm loving this episode, but I'm fairly loaded. Thanks, Scott. Appreciate it. However you are, we're glad you enjoy it. And that will do it for us. We'll go out on that happy note there. Wellreadcomedy.com. Join us on Patreon. Get loaded like Scott. Watch the State of the Union or not. Either way, we'll be back here in 7 days. See you. Bye.